Previously missing siblings, both little girls, minors, have been located safely after allegedly being kidnapped by a man whom they met on Roblox and then continued to speak with on Snapchat. Full stop, this did not happen in Connecticut. Okay, great. But it still happened in America. This was actually in Florida. But they were actually located, a 12 and 15-year-old, located by the Georgia State Highway Patrol after authorities found and stopped a vehicle connected to a suspect in this case. So why am I bringing this up? Couple reasons, honestly. First of all, we're going into a legislative session. And one thing that lawmakers are very focused on here in Connecticut is having more parental controls over social media. And great. I mean, to some degree, that does start the conversation, and it certainly equips parents a little bit better with having more of an oversight into what their kids are doing online. But it certainly, I don't think, stops there. And that's my biggest concern, is that we sometimes will say we fixed a problem when really you just provided another tool in the toolkit. And this is a great example of that. Roblox, Snapchat, for example. I mean, elementary school kids are on these platforms. And a lot of the times parents have given the go ahead, but they don't even know what their kids are doing or who they're talking to. So it's not enough just to say we're putting parental controls in place. It also takes, and again, this isn't shaming anybody, but it also has to continue being an effort. You know, when you hear in a marriage, you have to continue working on your marriage. You can't just get married and then it's happily ever after. That's not a real thing. It's kind of the same thing with social media. It has to be a continued effort working on this with your kids. And so I wanted to talk about this with one of our law enforcement experts on the show, Gary McNamara, who, Gary, you and I have talked about that exact thing, which is the importance of continuing this conversation. And first of all, did you hear about this story?
I did, and there's so much to unpack here.
Yeah.
Because you're right, we've had these discussions about, you know, parental controls on social media sites, but, you know, that only goes so far. Parenting really comes down to parenting. And again, not shaming, to your point, not shaming any parents. It's just a good example of why you can't rely just on social media accounts to protect our kids. It's always, you know, part of it is always going to come back to us making sure that we are have some oversight and discussions with our kids.
Yeah, because I want to be fair. Like I said, this is a 12 and a 15-year-old. So this is a middle schooler and a high schooler. Okay, so the reason I certainly don't want anyone walking away from this conversation being like, Melissa's a bully. She's being mean to these parents. They already went through a lot. I'm not singling out these parents at all. Please don't think that's what this conversation is about. We are having a conversation here in Connecticut about social media laws on the books and if we can better protect our kids. And really, the big thing that Connecticut lawmakers are focused on is mental health. That's important, too. No question. But what this story provides, like you said, a lot to unpack here, Gary. But what this story to me provides is the importance of saying you can't really pass a law that says you have to be engaged with your kids who are on social media and not even just tracking them. I'm not saying you've got to spy on your kids. And Gary, you can really weigh on this, honestly. I'm not saying you have to spy on your children. But what I am saying is that there should be healthy conversation going on, like, hey, this person reached out to me on Roblox. I don't know who they are. Do you want to look into this? Or, you know, having that healthy dialogue between guardian and child, essentially. Right, Gary? I mean, that has to be an ongoing effort. And it doesn't need to be very big brother, but it does need to be where it's comfortable and you kind of tap into vulnerability a little bit.
Well, yeah. And if we look at it, you know, take away social media, is so we know that predators oftentimes will go where kids are, obviously. So, you know, in the past, they used to be parks and places where predators could interact with kids. Now it's taking that online. And in this case, you know, these two sisters are on the gaming platform Roblox. And with all of these safety measures that they put in place, and they put in a lot, this individual, I think he was 19 years old, from Nebraska, so not in Florida, is able to go and hang out where they are and gradually, you know, we use the word grooming. And what grooming really is a predator's ability to make a target feel comfortable around them. So they begin to engage in conversations to make them comfortable. And then they gradually, once they do, they gradually bring it to a different format. And in this case, they moved it. He moved it to Snapchat, and Snapchat has less security measures on it. So, and then once they follow him to Snapchat, now he is, you know, in that mode of, okay, I gotcha. Now I gotcha. Now I'm on Snapchat, and we know what happens gradually over time. They, you know, they are comfortable enough that they actually, you know, go to meet him and leave with him.
Mm. And I'm curious, Gary, because I know we've discussed with, you know, people like you or certainly other officials in the state or I mean, even talking about human trafficking, we've talked to, you know, organizations like PET in Lower Fairfield County about this. And when these stories come up, and I know you swear by this, which I totally respect, is that when these stories come up, you certainly don't want to freak your kids out. But it is a great, I would think, conversation where parents kind of bring their guard down. Like, I could be honest, when I came across this story, I know this is a conversation I'm going to have with my son later today, which is, you know, hey, buddy, you know Roblox? Your friends are on Roblox. I want to tell you about a story where two sisters were on this platform. And you know how we've talked about before about how mommy is worried about you being online? This is a great example of why I'm worried about it. And I really need you to understand that I'm not trying to control you, but I am trying to make sure that you're not talking to strangers that could be dangerous. Do you recommend using stories like this to kind of break the ice and for parents to say, look, I'm afraid? Because I think sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable around your kids because you want to come off as like the authoritative or the strong person, or I'm just doing this like for your own good. Like, we kind of write those sort of things off. But really, we can almost, you know, utilize these types of cases as really concrete examples for why we're fearful of those things, or why I'd like to learn more about this, or why I want to continue having open conversation with our kids.
Yeah. And I think first of all, parents should really dive into this and understand what happened. Because this is a roadmap, and there's a lot of cases like that. We've talked about a lot of cases. You have to understand the enemy. And this is another good lesson for people to understand. In other words, what's the roadmap? How did this individual get to a point where he was able to convince two sisters to meet him? From Nebraska, I'm going to meet you. How did that happen? And there's a lot of information in here that can do that. Understand the roadmap. And then, depending upon how well you know your child and how well they're going to accept this, and, you know, at least you start to have those conversations individualizing towards your kid. But you can't have the conversations if you don't understand the threat. This is a great one to understand that.
We're looking at a case out of Florida, but it absolutely is one that you should look at and then debate whether or not to discuss it in some regard with your kids. So, missing siblings, now found, thank God. Both girls, ages 12 and 15, were allegedly kidnapped by a man from Nebraska, by the way, whom they met on Roblox originally and then continued to speak with on Snapchat. Again, both girls are okay, thank God. But we're talking to Gary McNamara, one of our law enforcement experts on the show. And Gary, you said, what is the roadmap in this case? A lot of information in this case that we can kind of dive into and some key takeaways and then kind of form conversations with our kids. But you said we have to understand the threat and that this case is a good example of that. Talk about the threat.
Well, first of all, you take Roblox. Roblox has a lot of controls on it. I mean, they have parent access restrictions, they can link accounts, parental accounts, you know, the age verification. So they have a lot of things that will go towards protecting our kids. However, now we're talking about these girls were saved or rescued, I think it was the 1st or 2nd of February, I believe. But the contact began, now they're going back and researching it, the contact that this suspect had with these girls began in mid-2025. Now, I don't have a specific date of that, but let's say
summer of 2025. But you're talking about 6 months they were talking to this
guy. That's right, exactly. So that conversation began 6 months before this occurred. Part of the roadmap is to understand that this takes time, that these people invest time. This isn't like, hey, they get on it, they just kind of say, hey, let's meet. It's all a gradual conversation. He was able to take that conversation and move it to Snapchat, which I mentioned before has a little less less restrictions on it. Mm-hmm. And then the suspect apparently was delivering gifts. And it's unclear to me whether or not, I believe I read somewhere where the parents or some family member, you know, it was kind of like a head turn. You know, you get that moment in time where you're like,
that's
hey,
weird.
That's a little odd. Like,
kinda, right.
You know,
like a humps moment.
That's exactly right. And so they get that moment in time where it makes them think, but, and again, I don't know all the facts of whether or not they did anything with it, but that's part of the roadmap. If your kids are all of a sudden receiving, you know, these gifts that are unexplainable.
I think it was food, Gary. Wait, I'm reading this article out of Good Morning America. It says the family told us that they saw some weird things that were going on involving gifts, specifically food for the most part, just showing up at the house.
Right.
So even that, it's so funny because you're talking about preteen and teenage girls. And if you're sending something, first of all, anybody could send that, right? I mean, a friend at school could send you, you know, something from fast food. It's not going to cost you that much. But you're in such a kind of more of a simplistic sort of a mindset that like, oh, that was really kind of them. And so you're starting to trust them and you're starting to think they really care for me or this is really thoughtful of them. That's very sneaky. That's really
right.
Sneaky.
Yeah. And it's grooming. Because think about it. Now, I can't say what the conversation was before the food was delivered, but can you imagine, you know, you're 19 years old, you're talking to these, you're grooming them, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I'll send you some food or whatever.
Right.
And then they're like, wow, that's pretty good. It's all part of that process. So obviously, if your kids are receiving food, you know, it's like, what? Like, what is, your young teenage girls, who's sending you food? Which, you know, but again, it's not parent blaming or anything. It's just starting to understand because we're all going to overlook that. Well, you know, those kind of things that happen, those moments in time that we kind of say, we try to make sense of it. We want to normalize it.
I was going to say, it's like society norms. That's something you and I have talked about in the past before when there's an emergency, for example. And even if you hear, you know, something that sounds like a gunshot, we are going to believe it is anything but a gunshot. It's kind of that societal norm. Until you see somebody actually get up and leave, nobody's going to really leave. That's the average person is not going to leave. It's sort of like that. Like, you know, if you have things being sent to your home, and we see that even, you know, for adults, we'll see packages that are sent, which is a totally different kind of a scam out there from, you know, what seems like reputable companies, but they shouldn't have been. And we're kind of like, ah, man, that's kind of weird that happened. But we don't really look into it any further than that. Most people don't. You're right.
Right.
You're right.
Right. And, you know, there was a book out that says Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And, you know, that book, you know, talks about, you know, your own emotions. Like, listen, there's things that you shouldn't worry about, you know, like why stress over things that in your life that are so small. However, when it relates to this type of stuff, you have to. It's the small stuff is the things that's begin to make the bigger stuff occur. Mm-hmm. So this is a good example of that. You know, now the food, now he has these relationships with him. Okay, the parents at one point or another, In I think 2 days ago, in the 31st of January, for whatever reason, as punishment, they took the girls' phones away. And that's so important because those phones will later come in handy for the investigation. So they took the phones away from them for, you know, going out or whatever. I don't think it was related to this communication because I don't think at the time they realized it was occurring to the extent that it was. That night, the girls disappeared. That evening.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what the family has found out, or their sheriff's department has found out, was the girls used the family computer or tablet to contact the suspect, and it was in that contact that they made the arrangements to come and pick them up. And then he drove from Nebraska to Florida, where he picked them up. And, you know, the roadmap was complete. His plan was completed. He was able to talk to them 6 months ago, and from 6 months ago through a series of time, it's an investment in this relationship that he's trying to have, an inappropriate relationship, this criminal act. 6 months later, he successfully managed to get two teenagers from Florida to meet him and actually get in his car to go back to Nebraska. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you said, Gary, it's very it's a case that's a good example. Again, thank God these girls are okay. I can only imagine how these parents feel. It's just it's awful. But there's so much to take away from this. And you've outlined it so beautifully. The impact of knowing how this all works, how these crimes even happen, the roadmap, as you say, that's something that we as adults should just understand better. But also, again, you know, how we then convert that into a conversation with our kids and being able to discuss it so that, you know, again, even before the food got delivered, you're talking about months of your kids talking to strangers online. And I understand that gets harder and harder as they become more and more independent, become teenagers, all that. I do understand that. But I think it leads to, again, figuring out those conversations earlier on so that, you know, if there is a potential threat, you can detect it earlier. I mean, I think there's a lot to take away from it. And as I mentioned, I know lawmakers in Connecticut want to pass laws to put more protections in place for parents. And I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't hate it. But to your point earlier, Gary, those protections are in place for Roblox. They're already there, but this still happened. So it proves the point that the buck doesn't stop at having more parental controls on social media. It has to be continued collaborative work between adult and child. That's what I'm also taking away from that.
Yeah, you're right. And Melissa, you say it often when we have these conversations. We're not blaming anyone, and we're not. You know,
no.
And that's important to have. But we have to inform, and you know, so it shouldn't come across as blaming. It should come across as learning.
Because
exactly. We're all in the same boat. We're not experts in anything. We can look back on it, but when you're in it, you know, when it's happening, you're not, sometimes you can't see the ending. You know, because you don't know. None of us really know.
Well,
what
and not
the ending
for
is.
Not for nothing, Gary. And I say this all the time because I think it speaks to exactly what you're talking about: is the importance of learning from these cases. It would be such a waste that you have something like this, so tragic, so awful. And thank God these girls are okay. But it would be such a waste to then just talk about this case and then move on. Like we almost dramatize something, you know, something awful that happens to another family, and we think like, oh, we're so much better than that. No, you take these cases and you learn from them, and you apply maybe different practices in your own household. And I use the example of my mom was asked years ago when she realized that, for example, we were not going to have more than one kid. And they were like, does it ever bum you out? You have so many kids and you're not going to have that many grandchildren. And my mom said, and I love this for her. I love that she said this. She said, I would never trade raising five kids in the 90s for raising one kid in 2025 at the time. And I loved that she said that because it's so true. This is such uncharted territory, I think, for a lot of parents who are trying to figure out balancing online and social media and having just a tech savvy generation and everything. We don't have the book that says how to be a perfect parent or how to raise a kid in a digital world. So we're figuring it out. And I think these conversations are a great way for us to evaluate how we're handling things like technology and having those conversations with our kids about it. So I thank you for always having those chats here on WICC, Gary. And I'm sure we're going to talk again really soon.